question I like to ask of you. No games, please tell me the truth. Have there been times when you were in despair and it felt like no one cared? Bills would do, no whip to get around. Okay, no shine, no homies to be found. You prayed and asked God for help, and he stayed when everyone left. How can you sit there and say nothing good ever comes your way? You have your help, you have your strength, and that's enough to acknowledge you who be.
Oh my Lord,
I'm not your own witness.
Oh my Lord,
a true born witness.
Oh my Lord,
I'll be a witness, yeah.
Oh, I wanna know.
Abundantly, still you sit in church so quietly. But how can you sit there with nothing to say when you know the Lord has made a way?
Oh my Lord,
can I get a witness?
Oh my Lord,
will you be a witness?
Oh my Lord,
oh will you be a witness?
Oh my Lord, holy Ghost witness.
Oh my Lord,
a sanctified witness.
Oh my Lord,
a true born.
For my Lord,
for my
Lord,
Holy Ghost witness.
For my Lord,
a sanctified witness.
For my Lord,
a true born witness.
For my Lord,
can I get a witness?
For my Lord,
will you be a witness?
For my Lord,
tell me, will you be a witness?
For my Lord,
I need a witness.
For my Lord,
for my
Lord.
Rain.
I'll be your witness.
Through ups and downs.
I'll be your witness.
Scattered all around.
I'll be your witness.
Don't you talk about me.
I'll still be your witness.
Scandalize my name.
I'll still be your witness.
False accuse me.
I'll still be your witness.
Point fingers at me.
But I'll still be your witness.
I'll be your witness.
I'll be your witness.
I'll be your witness because
I'll be your witness.
This rain is not given.
I'll be your witness.
To the swift or the strong, but
I'll be a witness.
To the world,
I'll still be a witness.
To the world,
I'll still be a witness.
Gotta hold on,
hold on.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to our devotional scripture, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 will be where our message comes from. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Be begin reading now.
I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Stop. Let's start over again. Say it again like you mean it. Begin reading now.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Stop. That was better. But come on, one more time. Begin reading now.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Stop. You may be seated. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For just a few moments this morning, I want to speak from the subject, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. Paul has said, for I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul makes no apologies for being who he is, saying what he says, and doing what he does for the cause of Christ. Paul makes clear as he speaks this word to the Roman church, how they too need this holy boldness that you can only find when you are in Christ Jesus. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now listen at this, because I want to share some things with you very quickly. First thing Paul talks about in this verse is his confession. Second thing he talks about is his conviction. And the third thing he talks about is his conversion. We talked about this in Bible study a few weeks ago, and I want to refresh those who were on the study, but I want to present this to those of you who were not. One of the things that I think is so interesting that we understand about these three things Paul is saying in this 16th verse is this, that first of all, the word confession means to acknowledge, it means to admit, and it means to make a vow. Now, one of the things that you must know as it relates to the biblical context of this word confession, is the fact that Paul is saying what God says. Confession, biblical confession is, I say what God says. Conviction is, I believe what God says. And then thirdly, conversion is, I have become and or am becoming what God says. So it's all about God and his word. My confession, my conviction, and my conversion happens because of the gospel of Christ. Now listen at this, brothers and sisters, because one of the things that I love about Paul's boldness here as he makes this proclamation of confession is the fact that he's helping us to understand that we have got to align our words with the word of God. In other words, when we confess anything from the word of God, it is our aligning our words with the words that God has already spoken. God wants us to know anything that's worth knowing, he already knows it. And he has given us his word so that we might know him better. So when he says, for I am not ashamed, what was Paul talking about? He was in the great province of Rome. Rome was the present sixth world power. Those of you who know biblical history and world history know that there were six world powers. The first was the world power of Egypt. Egypt was the first world power. Secondly, were the Assyrians. They were the second world power. Thirdly, Babylon was the third world power. Fourthly, the Persians were the fourth world power. And fifthly, were the Greeks. They were the fifth world power. But Rome is the sixth and present world power that Paul is speaking to. Now, one of the things, again, that is so interesting about this is the Greeks were a proud and yet profaned people. They had their greatness about them. They were powerful. They were mighty people with a mighty army. They were world domineering. And so there was a great pride about Rome, far and from the Romans. But that was not the agreement or the sentiment of everybody. Matter of fact, one of the ancient philosophers, by the name of Seneca, said that Rome is, and I quote, Anyway, he was making clear that Rome was a cesspool, if you will, of iniquity. That's what he said. Seneca said that Rome was a cesspool of iniquity, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. Listen, one of the things that you need to know was Paul knew that most of the persons who had accepted Jesus Christ were of the low echelon. They were the lower people. They were the Jews, and they were the proselytes, those who were converted to Judaism, those who were at the bottom rung. But the medium and the upper class were not believers in Jesus Christ. They believed in their idol gods and idol worships, and yet Paul, who was a learned man, a very astute man, was not one of the lower ones who were degraded by the Romans, because he himself had all the privileges of higher education, of inspiration, of power and prestige as a Jew and a Roman citizen. But he says, I am not ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ. Now, there were some people who were ashamed of the gospel of Christ, pretty much like there are some people today who call themselves Christians and are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They won't talk about him. They won't share a word for him. They don't let folk know whose they are and who they are, depending on where they are and with whom they're with. They've got special people they'll let know they believe in the Lord. They'll let special people know that they are a part of the kingdom of God. And others who do not know the Lord or love the Lord or with the Lord, they won't open their mouths because they're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What does this word gospel mean? In the Greek, it says the word gospel is euangelion. Euangelion. What is euangelion? Euangelion means simply good news or good tidings. And so what is important about this is that Paul was saying, because of the good news of Jesus Christ, he knew what he was because he knew what he was before Christ. And he knows what he is since knowing Christ. And his life has changed after he has become Christ's. And so it's important to realize his confession is lining up with the gospel of Christ. Look at his conviction. For it is the power. What is the word power? Again, the original word is dunamis, which means inherent power. It means miracle working power. It means power to change. For it is the power of who? God. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, the gospel has the ability to change folk. Yes, the gospel has the ability to rearrange folk. The gospel has the ability to make people different. Yes, and the gospel has the power to work miracles. Yes, and so he says it is the mystery, the power of God is a mystery unto salvation. In other words, you don't know what happens when you preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ and how when it leaves your mouth and the Holy Spirit takes a hold of those words between leaving your mouth and entering someone else's ears, he begins to work on them and do a work underneath their skin whereby he starts changing them by the preaching of the gospel. Listen, what's important about it is it's not about you, it's about him. It's not what I say about the gospel, it's the gospel that I say that makes a difference in people's lives. And his conviction was, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. In other words, you can't just believe one time. You got to keep on believing. Because the more you believeth, the more God shows you who he is and what he's working with. One of the things, again, I love about Paul's proclamation of his confession and declaration of his conviction is the fact that Paul is talking about something he knows. You remember when he was on the Damascus Road? He had credentials, papers, to show that he could catch, kill, and capture anyone calling on the name of Jesus or people who were called the people of the way. And he had power to destroy them. But on that Damascus Road, he met Jesus. And Jesus cried out, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Yes, yes. Saul responded, "Lord." Now listen, when he said that, that was a difference immediately, because up until this time, he was not Lord to Saul. As a matter of fact, Saul wanted to persecute anyone who called on his name and followed him. But something happened when he met Jesus. And the power of the gospel through the spoken word of the risen Savior knocked him off his beat, and his light, the light, shone greater than the noonday sun, and he was blinded. And he was led off, and later he received the sight. But the point I'm making here is he had a personal relationship with Jesus. His conviction was real. And my brothers and sisters, when your conviction is real, can't nobody change your mind. Can't nobody tell you nothing different. You know it for yourself, and that cannot be changed because that conviction is real. But he shares something else with us, and that's the inspiration of his conversion to the Jew first. Why the Jew first? Because they were God's chosen people. They were the people who were not a people. They were the smallest of the group. They were the most insignificant. And God chose them over all of the others and made them his special people. And so Jesus had come to reclaim the lost house of Israel, the wandering sheep who wandered as though they had no shepherd. Jesus had come first to save the Jews. For the record is in John 1 and 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But verse 12 is in the book, and it says, but unto all those, again, who love the Lord, he gave them power to become the sons of God. He, through the power of the gospel, gave them the opportunity to be transformed into the sons of God. Those who were not his people. So when it comes to the Jew and also to the Greek simply meant all persons who were non-Jewish people. And that literally meant everyone else in the world, not just the Grecians and those of Greek culture and Greek knowledge, but everyone who was not a Jew was considered a Gentile or a Greek-speaking person. So what does that say? The inspiration here is that the Lord didn't just save Paul, but he's willing to save all. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've fallen, how low you may be, he is willing to save you. And we have got to recognize this. Listen to what verse 17 says. For, this is important, therein is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Is this talking about the judgment of God's righteousness? No. This is talking about the character of God's righteousness. This is talking about a righteous God. He is not looking upon your unrighteousness. He is not talking about your unfitness. He's talking about putting on you the righteousness of him. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What does faith to faith mean? It means from the first to the finish. It means from the beginning of your faith to the continuation of your great, to the finality of your faith. In other words, it's a continual growing experience. The Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes. Listen, so then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing by what?
Word of God.
The word of God. Your faith keeps growing the more knowledge you get and the more you believe what God says. When you confess what he says, believe what he says, become what he says, you will see the working power of God's word changing you, transforming you, making you into what he wants you to be. You can't do it on your own. How many times have you tried to change you and couldn't change you? How many mental assents, how many positive affirmations you gave yourself, and at the end of the day, none of that changed you? How many you said times you said, I wouldn't, and you did? How many times you said, I would not, and you would, and you did? Listen, you can't do it of yourself. You need the transforming power of God that's revealed in his righteousness. Faith from faith to faith. This 17th verse deals with three things. It deals with the righteousness of God. It deals with the revelation of God. And it deals with the resolve from God for his people. Look at the resolve from God for his people. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's the resolve of God for his people. That resolve comes from God. But when does it come from them, from him? One, when they know God and his righteousness personally. Two, when they have been clear about the revelation of the faith of God growing in their lives from faith to faith. In other words, if you got the faith you started with, and you've been on this journey any time, something is wrong.
All right.
It means, one, that you're still a spiritual babe. Because you don't get to be a mature Christian without moving from faith to faith. It's like going through primary school, elementary school, junior high school, college, and so on. In other words, it takes more and more faith to move to every higher level that you reach or attain. And the same thing with the things of God. Where you are now should not be where you are a year from now. Where you were when you got saved should not be, unless you got saved yesterday, should not be where you are today. And if you're not growing in your faith, it's because you're not growing in the word. God will reveal things to you when you start growing from faith to faith that you never could figure out, that you never could work out, that you never could understand without his word being revealed to you. And when you have that revelation, then he requires you as a resolve to live by faith.